people see angels, don't they?
Yes, they do. It's one of my favorite stories that I always think about with angels is that there was a woman who was dying. Her daughter, who is an adult, is sitting there by her bedside, and it's a quiet, quiet moment. And then all of a sudden, her mother looks in the corner of the room, as so many people do, and says, "Oh, my, an angel." And the daughter goes, "What?" And that the mother goes, "I never knew they were so beautiful." And the daughter's going, "Where, where?" And the mother goes, "Oh, my goodness, look at how beautiful." And the daughter goes, "Mom, I can't see the angel. I can't see any angel." And the mother turns to her and says, "Well, of course you can't. You're not dying. I'm dying. Why on earth would you see the angel?" And, you know, it's interesting. When I retell that story, people go, "Oh, you know, why wouldn't the daughter see it?" And I often go, look, if there's a power out there that can drop the veil between life and death, it certainly knows who's dying in the room and who's not. So who knows why only the dying, you know, get to experience these things. So people will often see angels, and it's quite remarkable. You know, one of the things that Marianne Williamson shared in one of her writings is she talked about the angel of death, which we think of, you know, as a very scary angel. And she talked about, wouldn't that have to be God's most tender and understanding angel to come to us at such a significant, frightening juncture in our life? But certainly seeing angels and seeing religious figures and comforting figures is part of the many visions that people have before they die. And I also found it interesting in the stories, no one saw a vision outside their beliefs, meaning, you know, no Jews saw Jesus. People saw what was comforting to them. And that's kind of a theme that went through all of the people that I interviewed, the doctors, the nurses, the social workers, the psychologists. They all talked about whatever the vision, the trip, the crowded room, it was comforting to the dying, which to me is good to know that we don't meet any enemies in our last moments. You know, that, you know, people who are there comforting us are people we wanted to see. So that was quite remarkable. It came through the interviews in the books that I was, you know, reassured by myself.
People did not see angels with wings, though, did they?
No, they didn't see the classic cherub and all that. They saw a comforting angel that was there for them, that surrounded them, that loved them, that engulfed them.
That's interesting. That they would not see the religious overtones of an angel.
It was quite remarkable that, you know, there's in the lectures that I do, I have this one slide of, you know, people look at it and go, "Where's the angel?" And I have to explain it to them. It's sort of the one image that I found that, you know, I often think, I wonder, is that like that? You know, you kind of get a glimpse and realize that's an angel.
What about crowded rooms, Dave?
Well, the fascinating thing about that is this would happen that I would go and see patients and people would say, "Well, were the doctors rounding last night, or who was that group of people that came into the room?" And the word crowded kept coming up. And then, as you know, I would talk to families over the years. They would talk about, "I don't know what's going on, but my loved one who's dying was talking about a crowd in the room." So one day I had the chance, there was a gentleman who was talking to me about this, and he said, "You know, there was a crowd here last night." And I said to him, "Well, who was the crowd?" And he said, "You know, I could only make out a couple of people." And one of the things that so many people recounted is that they would start talking to their loved ones who were dying about name the people. And people would see two or three people they knew, their husband, their wife, maybe their parents who had passed on. But then they'd kind of talk about, you know, I think an uncle who died was maybe there. And one of the things is I hear these stories of the crowd and, you know, was able to get some really fascinating ones for the book that I shared is, what if the same way we all kind of gather at a birth, what if our ancestors and everyone's gather at death again?
Mm-hmm.
What if when we die, they're standing room only? I think one of the things that, you know, when I came away from completing the book after going through just so many interviews and hearing about that, I thought to myself and wrote about this, you know, what if everything we know about dying isn't true? What if it's not this cold, lonely experience? What if, you know, there's connections that we haven't began to think about in our life that maybe we only understand in death? You know, what if everything we know about death isn't true?
What if we really are just occupying the shell of a body, but the real life is the afterlife?
Well, you know, that's one of the things that I do believe is true, is that, you know, birth is not a beginning and death is not an ending. They're just two points of time, and there's a long continuum there that we might only get a glimpse of.
Reaching upward, what does that mean?
Well, fascinating to me that in these interviews, and from what, you know, many people see, their loved one who's dying will reach upward. And many people would reach upward right at the moment of death.
You mean physically? Their arms would go up?
Physically, their arms reach up, many times to the vision, if they were having one, to the conversation with their loved one who died. But they will reach up, and many people would, like, fully raise up, you know, their upper body and reach up and then die. And, you know, it's remarkable that everyone who had the reaching of their hands would reach up in that way. You know, no one ever had a story of them reaching, their loved one reaching to the side or reaching down or reaching over. It's always reaching upward.
It's up, yeah. What does that tell you?
Well, that there's, just like you said, there is more to this experience than just what we see here.
I think so, too. When you were with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross at her passing, did anything unusual happen there?
Well, I think the thing that I will always take with me about that is when she was in her last weeks of life, you know, people would just want to come by, and she had has a wonderful son and daughter who were there, and her friend Brooke was there, and I was there. People would come by with, here's the music for Elizabeth to die by, and here's the, you know, the incense, and here's the, you know, everyone wanted this extraordinary death for Elizabeth.
Did she?
Well, you know what? I don't think so.
Neither do I. Yeah.
I don't think so. And it's interesting that, you know, I think there was a sense of, if she doesn't have a great death, what hope is there for the rest of us? And Elizabeth told a story many times about how she had two experiences that really stuck with her from her childhood about death. One was when she was about 8. She was in a hospital, possibly with pneumonia, and there was a little girl there who, you know, the parents were desperately trying to see her and visit her. And here's Elizabeth being her bedmate there in the room, and she kind of thought, you know, why do I get to be here instead of her parents? And the girl died. And Elizabeth, at a young age, thought, now this isn't a way to die. Then she went on to talk about how there was a man in the village who had broken his neck. He was brought home. He was in the front room. The family gathered. There were flowers all around. And, you know, he was surrounded by love. And so when Elizabeth passed and everyone wanted that extraordinary death, I thought about, she died. Her grandkids were there. Her son and daughter was there. I was there. Her friend was there. My kids were there. And I thought, you know what? While people wanted that extraordinary death, what Elizabeth fought for her whole life wasn't the extraordinary death, but the ordinary death. She wanted that person to be taken from the end of the hallway in the hospital where they were seen and isolated, and kind of bring them into a more natural setting. And I think she had exactly that, a very simple, loving passing.